Radio.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th at 7 p.m.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th to learn more.
ForRadio.com.
Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold. Your peek into oral health, cosmetic dentistry, and wellness solutions from Modern American Dentistry.
All right, that's me. Hello, and welcome back, hopefully, to some of you who are back again to Get Your Smile On with me, Dr. Joel Gould, your wellness dentist. So last week was my first show, and I really had a great time. I want to thank Maria DiGiovanni, my producer, for helping me out to get on to this incredible opportunity to share wellness dentistry with the world. So I'm going to just go back and say that, remember, all dentistry is cosmetic. Cosmetics, because how you feel about yourself is so integrated into your smile and who you are that we just can't separate function from looking and feeling good. Last week, we had the incredible Jennifer Cohen on the show. She's a health, wellness, and fitness expert. And we were talking about her new book, Strong is the New Skinny. It's a really great book. Just the title alone just tells you that this is really somebody to watch in the health and wellness industry. Now, thank you all for tuning in to what, again, I promise is going to be the most exciting half an hour internet show on dentistry. And we are available now on SoundCloud under the name Dr. Joel Gould. You can look me up. And we are coming soon to iTunes. Okay, so today my guest is going to be Dr. Jay Sordian of the Redwood Clinic in Berkeley, and he'll be on the show just a little bit later. And the topic for today's show is the link between Alzheimer's disease and gum disease. Now, I know that sounds really strange, but again, wellness dentistry can be anything as slight as having pain, a toothache with your mouth, to as far-reaching as being linked to Alzheimer's disease. Now, hopefully a lot of you have seen the movie with Julianne Moore in her role is Still Alice, and that brought widespread attention to Alzheimer's disease. Now, 5.2 million Americans currently have Alzheimer's disease, and probably everyone listening has somebody in their life that has been touched by this disease or know somebody who's being affected by it today. What's really interesting about this disease is, as a dentist, I have a unique position to be seeing people every 6 months over many years. And it's really, really sad for me when I see one of my formerly fantastic, great, really vital patients just slowly start to deteriorate. And, you know, at a certain point, the patients themselves are really not feeling pain. They're really not sure about a lot, but it's the loved ones that have to help and carry on. And it can be a really tough we get a lot of people coming in to continue their dental care, bringing their loved ones who are affected by this disease, and I know it affects so many people. And as an aging population in America, by the year 2050, the number of people with Alzheimer's disease will triple, and that's due to the giant amount of people in the baby boom generation. So today's topic, you know, I promised that I wouldn't use this as an opportunity to bug you about flossing, because when you come to a dental office, that's probably one of the first things that you think we're going to do, and that is going to be to say, hey, you're not flossing enough. Well, one of the things that I really want to do with this show is not tell you about anything. I really want everybody to learn something from either the guests that we have on or some of the statistics that I'm going to speak about or some of the ideas and information that I'm going to bring forward, because I want everybody who's listening to understand dentistry and health the way I understand. So one of my biggest topics that we're going to be talking about is one that it's really interesting that people have an issue with this already. It's called sleep apnea. And I really want to rename that to sleep disorders. Apnea is a weird word, and a lot of people have heard of it, and they're just not interested. They know that they don't have it, or they believe they don't have it. And people who know what sleep apnea is, they picture a giant gas mask that's blowing air down their throat. And the people of you who don't know what sleep apnea is, it's different than insomnia, although 80% of insomniacs have sleep apnea. What it is, it's an obstruction of your airway. There's a lot to this whole phenomenon, and it's an incredible, complex, intriguing, terrifying issue that I'm going to be bringing forward to my show little by little. It is one of the biggest healthcare issues facing our time, and I'm here to be at the forefront of helping to identify what is sleep apnea and what sleep disorders are, and at the forefront of treating them. Why would a dentist be treating a sleep disorder? Many, many reasons. Just briefly, the dentists that are out there, we see people's airways. We look at their teeth, and we see their tongues and their tonsils. Sure, when you go to the doctor, they'll use that tongue depressor and look down your throat, but we have you lying back. We can see it all, and we are uniquely positioned to be able to see the early warning signs of sleep apnea. I don't want to go too far into this, but sleep apnea is considered a period of time where you actually stop breathing and your body goes into alarm mode and it wakes you up. Now, one of the conditions that sleep apnea makes worse is Alzheimer's disease. So we will get back to sleep apnea. We're going to discuss it quite a bit. We are starting in my office a clinical trial, and I have a very unique link to this disease, sleep apnea, as I was actually diagnosed with it. And it was a complete shock to me. I was in total denial. I have been to many continuing education seminars where I learned about how to treat people with sleep apnea. In fact, we've been doing it for many years here. The issue is that I think a lot of people and a lot of dentists didn't really understand or don't really understand how complex this is. And pretty much only through me really having this has sort of enabled me to have a completely different focus and view on it. And I'm getting into some of the incredible science that is going to change, you know, people's ideas of what sleep apnea is into more of what sleep disorders are. And we can hopefully bring to light that there are a lot of other solutions besides the CPAP machine, which is the big gas mask that you see. But we can do something called a mandibular advancement device. And that's the acronym is MAD, just like modern American dentistry, MAD. So I'm really mad for MADS because I am looking forward to getting probably the first good night's sleep I've ever had in my entire life. Now, I don't have my MAD or my dental device yet, but it's on its way. So today we're discussing Alzheimer's disease, and we have our guest today is Dr. Jay Sordian, and I'm going to bring him on in a second. He is a really incredible guy. He is an LAC, licensed acupuncturist. He's an OMD, Oriental Medicine doctor. He's a CTN, certified traditional naturopath. He's a QME, a qualified medical evaluator. And just to throw a few more letters at you, he's been seen on CBS, NBC, ABC, and FOX, however you want to say it. He has a book that we're going to get him to talk about, and he and I have known each other for a while. We've discussed the complications of Alzheimer's disease and how it's linked to oral health, and I would like to bring him on. Dr. Jay, are you there?
Hi, Joel. It's great to be on the air tonight with you.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we didn't get a lot of a chance to talk about this in advance, and you know, I'm not sure how much you know about this show, but we are not yet on iTunes, but hopefully by the end of next week we'll be listed, and your people who want to hear what you have to say can find us on SoundCloud under Dr. Joel Gould. So, you know, Dr. J, I've seen you on TV, and you're a compelling speaker. I think you're entertaining. I think you're exciting. Tell us about your new book.
Well, I actually have two books. One is called Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, and that's a bit more about enhancing the brain as well as trying to avoid Alzheimer's and dementia. The other is called Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, because I feel very strongly that this 1 in 8 Americans epidemic of Alzheimer's is something that needs to be addressed, just as diabetes and obesity need to be addressed as well.
Okay. Great. And so that's your more recent book.
Yes, that's correct. So some of the factors, when we jump right into talking about Alzheimer's, some of the factors related to Alzheimer's and brain degeneration include a decreased oxygen getting to the brain, a lack of REM sleep, which prevents restorative sleep and memory processing, and obesity and blood sugar conditions. These all are factors that science and research have shown, as well as clinical studies have shown, have an influence on causing brain degeneration and impact Alzheimer's. Now, one of the interesting things is some of the factors and symptoms in Alzheimer's dementia patients include the sundowner phenomenon of waking and not being able to sleep. And so there's a certain parallel with sleep apnea in a number of these different issues having to do with, I believe you, or perhaps you already stated, that sleep apnea tends to reduce the oxygenation of the brain. And one of the theories is that a decrease in the steady flow of oxygen to the brain is one of the negative effects that sleep apnea has on a person's health.
Sure. Well, you know, I didn't get into, you know, sleep apnea is such a broad subject that what I really have been trying to do is just break it in slowly. And what's so interesting is that Alzheimer's is definitely linked to sleep apnea, and that the two are really parallel in a lot of ways. So I want to get to this, but right now we actually have just a short break for one of our commercials. And we're going to take a break for 1 second. So hang in there and we'll get right back to you.
ForRadio.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould starting June 10th at 7 p.m.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould starting June 10th to learn more.
ForRadio.com.
Okay. Sorry about that, Jay. This is my second show, and introducing a commercial break is something that's new to me, so thanks for bearing with me. I did not want to lose the momentum of what we're talking about, but I want to just change gears just real quick. And I just want to say that, you know, we had discussed this issue of Alzheimer's disease and dental health. And what's interesting is that since you and I sort of spoke in detail, the research that I did showed that this isn't just any kind of suggestion. There's a conclusive and interesting link between periodontal disease and Alzheimer's that is actually separate from the whole sleep apnea and decreased oxygen issue. Is that correct?
It's certainly the research that I've done. I know that in my TV segments I mentioned the importance of dental hygiene. reducing inflammation and bacterial infection, because that has a global effect. It can also have a localized effect on the sinuses, and those can eventually cause what we call leaky brain syndrome, which is damage to the filtration system that protects the brain. And when that happens, all kinds of very degenerative processes occur in the brain, a lot of inflammation. So dealing with the dental hygiene is so crucial in this whole picture, and it's not being looked at by most physicians.
Right. Okay. Well, I totally agree with you. And again, you know, I promised that the show would be as exciting as possible. I didn't want to say things, but this is actually really on point, is that everybody out there, if you're not seeing a dentist regularly, go see one. If you're near me, come to one of my three offices. We do all manner of periodontal care, deep cleanings, everything that you need at the right frequency. Some people need more cleaning. Some people need less. And, you know, it depends on who you are, but it's very important. Even leaving a wisdom tooth that's halfway into your mouth can cause a chronic periodontal infection. And what the studies showed that I was most shocked at is that this small periodontal infection that you have in your mouth will trigger a completely out of size response from your immune system. Your immune system kind of goes crazy. A small periodontal infection isn't that big. It's not that big of a deal. It won't affect your life. But boy, it really gets the immune system going, which really has to do with, you know, back to the topics of Alzheimer's, sleep apnea, and oxygen deprivation.
So there you go. One of the things that I was talking to someone recently, and her partner worked at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and he is a dentist. And the reason why the whole dental component is in that facility is because cancer patients, when their immune system gets lowered, they have some of the worst dental problems, and that will eventually be one of the major causes of death. So this again points out the real key requirement that people get their teeth looked at, that they have regular dental care as a part of overall health, but also even for things such as cancer. I know we aren't talking about that here, but it's a key factor in taking care of people who have cancer and advanced cancer.
Okay. Well, thank you for making my dental claims for me. I think that's great. I appreciate it. And so what I want to do right now, so you're such an interesting guy and you do so many things, is, you know, so basically we said it, you know, if you didn't need one more reason to floss, there it is. If you don't floss, you can get Alzheimer's disease. Not to scare you, but, you know, physical health, dental health, and overall well-being is really, really critical to your overall health. So what I wanted to do, Jay, is I wanted to just talk about some of the things that people don't know maybe about you, or probably don't know. I know you do a lot of work with acupuncture. What is your most common treatment that you do for acupuncture? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, acupuncture, historically in the United States, has primarily focused on pain control because of the trips that President Nixon did to China and James Reston, who was a reporter, had observed people having surgery using acupuncture. So a lot of people come to my office related to pain problems. It could be headaches, it could be digestive issues, even tooth pain. Of course, they have to get the dentist to make sure that the underlying cause is being addressed as well. But there are a lot of different points and areas in the teeth that correspond to different organs in the body. And so treating with acupuncture can help the teeth as well be healthy, and to help the dental care be more effective.
Okay.
I also work
Sorry,
with
go
people.
On.
Uh-huh. I
go
also
on, yeah.
work with people who.
All right. Hello?
Yeah.
Are we there? Okay, sorry, you cut out there for a second. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
So, individuals who need to lose weight is an important thing. One of the things that I work with, because it has to do with overall metabolism, overall function of the body. And if blood sugar is out of balance, that can create all kinds of havoc. Now, if one looks on, you know, on the internet and other places under sleep apnea, what it also is commonly stated is that obesity is a major cause of sleep apnea and that problem. So actually, because of the swelling and all the extra weight that occurs, the extra tissue structure that occurs, it's difficult to breathe when you're asleep. And so actually treating obesity is one aspect. It's very important in dealing with sleep apnea, but it's also a key component in dealing with Alzheimer's because of blood sugar issues going up and down, causing inflammation, and then that can involve the brain as well and cause brain degeneration.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that, and again, sleep apnea is such a big topic, and I really want to roll it out slowly so that people can get how far this reaches into our current medical system. But interestingly enough, not only is sleep apnea made worse or caused by obesity, but the reverse is true as well. People who have sleep apnea will become obese because their hormones are just completely messed up. And so the hormonal paths that signal to the brain to be satisfied or to be hungry get completely messed up. And we'll go into that in a later show because there's an incredible link between obesity, sleep apnea, and general hormones. And so being fit and being healthy is completely related to that. So we'll save that. This, unfortunately, the sleep apnea conversation just sneaks in everywhere because it's just linked to so many different things. So tell me, for your patients that you treat with acupuncture, is it a long session? Do you see them for 10 minutes, or how does it go?
Well, so initially, in order to get a great overview of all the health issues that are going on with an individual, because there could be emotional issues, there could be things that are going on in their relationships that are influencing their overall health, I do a comprehensive evaluation, and often that will be an hour, hour and a half long, depending on what's going on. If they're coming in with pain problems, I have to do a proper orthopedic evaluation. I have to do range of motion, testing out muscle strength, etc. So for most people, the first visit is anywhere from half hour to an hour and a half, so I can get a complete picture of what's going on. Many people will come in after having seen a lot of other physicians, and they may have a huge stack of different laboratory tests or x-rays, and they're oftentimes, we have to do additional testing that has not been done in order to find out what is going on functionally with them. It could have to do with hair mineral analysis. It may have to do with special blood tests, or it could have to do with the whole digestive system and seeing how well that is working and whether there is an imbalance of the bacteria in the intestinal tract that is causing all kinds of other problems and weakening their immune system, for example. So that's the first visit.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So I know you touched on about a million different topics that are of interest. it's tough to get it all in. But okay. So tell me about your treatment. Do you as dentists, someone comes in, we do our set of x-rays, just like you're talking about, we do a history, and we come up with something called a treatment plan. And, you know, it varies from person to person. A lot of people don't need any work, and a lot of people need to have their mouths completely redone. So what we do is we make up a treatment plan, we phase it, we say we're going to do this, this, or this. Does that type of thing work the same with acupuncture? Do you have to have a repeated treatment, or, you know, what would your first acupuncture visit be once you decided that that's going to be a proper treatment modality?
Yeah, exactly. Once I determine that it's a possibility, some people have come in, they've already had acupuncture, so we know that it has some beneficial effects to them. And not everyone is a perfect candidate for acupuncture, but many, many people actually do find that acupuncture is helpful for them for a variety of reasons. And so typically, if I haven't seen someone before, in order to see if they're a fast or slow responder, I would need to do at least 6 visits, and then by then I would know whether they're going to respond quickly or more slowly, or they don't respond at all to the acupuncture I do. Treatment plans.
Okay.
Yeah, so it also then from there, depending on how severe the problem is, how impacted it is in their system, it could take 12 visits, it could take 24 visits. And
okay,
there are individuals I've seen who came in, I've been in practice more than 33 years, and so I think maybe 28 years ago, there's a person that I have been seeing that long, and they were able to avoid back surgery, still haven't had to have back surgery, and they will come in occasionally for tune-ups. They say, felt a little twitch, so they come in.
Oh, that's really interesting. How long have you been doing the acupuncture for? You've been doing it for all those, for 33 years?
For 33 years, yeah.
Wow, okay. Usually, this is a comment where I make a comment like I've got underwear older than 33 years, but but you know, I'm not wearing them tonight.
You aren't wearing those. Those are up on the wall somewhere in a museum.
There you go. Exactly. So now as a naturopathic doctor, so obviously we know that you do acupuncture. What other type of things do you think that people listening who don't know what you do would be surprised to find that you do, or that you do well, or that you love to do, or that's, you know, unusual or beneficial?
Well, as a naturopath as well as an acupuncturist, I work with homeopathic remedies. I work with herbs, and they could be Chinese-style herbal formulas or Western-style herbs, depending on what's necessary. There are nutraceuticals that I use that are based on biological medicine. And
okay, hold on. What's a nutraceutical?
Well, a nutraceutical is a nutrient that has been specifically either an extract or a formulation that is based on natural medicine, but it has exacting. It's like we know the percentage of the active ingredients in it.
Okay, got it. You do sort of more scientific based as well as more Eastern medicine based types of treatment then.
That's exactly right. And I also do something called neurologic relief center technique, which is working with the meninges. And that is something I've been doing in addition to the acupuncture over the last 5 years. And I decided to do that because I saw some really miraculous changes that occurred when people's meninges, which are like three layers of
I'm going to interrupt you so that everybody, I'm pretty sure that everybody listening doesn't necessarily know what the meninges are. So it sounds like maybe a Saturday morning cartoon, but
that's right.
This is the material that lines people's brains. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's like three layers of saran wrap or plastic wrap that surrounds the brain, every little crevice in the brain, as well as all the nerves coming out off of the spinal cord and off of the brainstem. And it's sort of like having three wetsuits on a person if you've ever been out surfing or something. It's like three wetsuits. And so if they get twisted or torqued, then it can affect the blood flow going to the brain, the oxygen going to the brain, and the cerebrospinal fluid, which circulates through the spine and the brain in order to nourish it and to have the immunological factors necessary to protect it.
Wow. Okay. So what kind of treatment do you do for that?
So that is a manual treatment where we actually apply pressure in various parts of the neck in order to release the twisted or torqued meninges. And
it sounds
radical, but it's subtle, and yet I have seen these really amazing changes. People like who had hip pain for 20 years after like a 3-week series of treatments. Their hip pain was actually, you know, right after the first visit, they actually go, oh, my God, I can't believe I don't have any hip pain after 20 years. And it's like I'm going just adjusting. I mean, I often go, is this really working now? Well, I mean, I'm, it's just like I can't believe it.
Okay, well, hold on. I want to interrupt you there because I've been taking some training in trigger points. And now I'm like an old school scientist. So if anyone says anything that's sort of like out of line with what I think science is, I get all upset.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff, and, you know, naturopathics are sure in that world, but there's a lot of stuff that really came clear to me when I actually did trigger point injections, and we did this, you know, head and neck area for people who are having chronic pain, and really shocking to see how an injection of lidocaine or Botox or even just the actual using the needle called dry needling can relieve, and you can feel something so far away from the actual source that it really kind of blew my mind. So I really have become much more open to you know, the whole idea that the body is such a weird interconnected place. So, okay, hey, Dr. J, sorry to cut you off. We're nearing the end of our show. You've got so many incredible things to talk about. I'd love to have you on my show again, and I want to really thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
My great pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. It was fun. Right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. You got it. And so, everybody, so today we're just about done for the day. I hope I didn't bug you to floss too much, but that is my job. I want to thank 4 Radio for sponsoring my show and Living Royal Productions. And I would ask you all to tune in next week, 7 p.m., and hopefully by then we'll be up on iTunes. And remember, all dentistry is cosmetic. It was great talking to you tonight. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold. Keep smiling and tune in next time to listen to Dr. Joel Gold reveal the secrets of cosmetic dentistry and wellness.
ForRadio.com.